And good Friday morning, Getaway Friday, Friday, November the 12th, 2021. 15 coming up on 16 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship, heard every Friday at 11:10 a.m., repeated Sunday morning at 8:10 a.m., and on Wednesday afternoon at 3:10 p.m. Also, you can catch archived episodes of the show on the net, WWGH1071.com. Go to Program Archives. It's the first one under there. Shows dating back to March of 2018. The Community Christian Fellowship Sunday service airs on this station on Sunday afternoons at 12:15, and you can catch those on the website at WWGH1071.com. And we now turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker.
Hey, good morning, Scott. Good morning, Frank. Good to be here today. Thanksgiving is sneaking up on us, is it not?
Very close.
And getting excited about that. Hey, I do want to apologize out there. Our Sunday message at 12:15 on Sunday was not aired this week, and that was a glitch on our end, and I apologize for that. But it will be on at 12:15 this week, so please follow that here at 107.1 FM. And I want to welcome everyone from all our outlying communities. And, you know, I'll tell you, Scott, the other day I was driving over towards Ashley, Ohio on 229, and I was picking a station up perfectly.
Yeah.
Isn't that odd? Just the different areas that it'll reach and whatnot. But anyway, I'm glad to be here. Glad that we have a beautiful sunny day amidst all the rain yesterday. And it looks like we're just about done with this warm stuff. It's time to batten the hatches a little bit.
I would think so. It's going to be hard to flip back to warm weather after this spell we've got coming.
Absolutely. But I'm ready for winter. We got to get in that winter mood, don't we?
We do.
And decide, you know, this is the way it is. It's time to get ready to dress warmer and not complain about it, and just know that we've got 3 or 4 months ahead of us that are going to be chilly.
I think people are shocked. It doesn't seem like we're this far along in November, but I was saying to somebody the other day, you know, it's 60 degrees and it's November the 9th.
Yeah.
You know, that's abnormal.
That is abnormal. But I don't think we're going to see that long.
No, I think this might be it today.
I remember a few 60-degree days in December a few years ago.
It does happen. It does happen, but that it's been this continuous that we've, you know, we usually get a dusting of snow by Halloween.
Absolutely.
And that certainly didn't happen.
We're about to.
Yeah.
I think Sunday. Hey, I just want to encourage anyone, if you have something you need us to pray about, please call here at 740-339-944. We'd be glad to take that prayer request, or call the church at 740-494-2222. And let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. We ask that all things be done to honor you. And we thank you for this city that we're able to minister in and reach people in. And Lord, we pray for everyone to have a wonderful year and to turn to you for that goodness that you offer in your name. Amen. I want to talk about something good this morning. Is that good?
That works.
That works for me. I want to talk about Thanksgiving is coming up, and I want to talk about being thankful and some different things we can be thankful for. First and foremost, I like to say that I'm thankful for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he's done for me, and the fact that he was able to take a life and mold it into a life that he desired me to be. I'm a constant work in progress, as we all are. I think that a lot of times people will look at Christians and say, boy, they're a hypocrite. I saw them do A, B, or C, but I think that people don't realize that we're all a work in progress. Our heart may have been perfected, but we've still got a lot of that old nature and things that we do. But God is good. God takes care of us. And if we can understand that, and if we can understand that living in that relationship with him allows us to go through some peaks and valleys without being totally obsessed with what we're going through at the time, and I think that's important. I've got went to see a friend at the hospital last week. He's a retired police officer, actually sheriff, and he is operating right now, which is pretty cool. He's operating on an artificial heart. His heart is doing nothing. Matter of fact, he has no blood pressure, Scott.
Mm.
He has no blood pressure. Isn't that odd? And no heartbeat, because it's a constant pump. But anyway, we talked and we prayed together and talked about things. And he talked about, you know, trusting God has given him so much peace with what he's going through. And, you know, that's such a blessing to see in someone. I've got another friend that She's in the hospital right now having some pretty extensive chemotherapy going on. But once again, there's a case where she's trusting God through it and for the outcome. And we just had a little girl in the church that had a very extensive spinal surgery. She's had many, many surgeries in her lifetime. She has had a really extensive spinal surgery, and it's been tough on her, and she's having a tough time. But, you know, the family has faith in God, and they trust God. And, you know, that makes things so much easier. So I think the first thing that I want to say that we should be thankful for is probably faith. Faith that we have, the trust that we have in God and what He's done for us, I think is a huge thing to think about that we can truly be thankful for. And then I want to talk a little bit about where we live. As much complaining as I hear about people, about our country and things going on in it, and honestly, a lot of it's legitimate. Some of it is just because some people you will never make happy. Would you agree with that? I mean, they have to find the bad in everything. And what do we used to call those in the old days? Spoil sports or something of that nature. There's a guy, what was he on, one of the cartoons, Wowsy Wowsy Woo Woo, always walked around with a cloud around him. I forget who that was. But anyway, there are those people out there. But honestly, in the country that we live in today, we, for the most part in this country, if people know where to go and know, there's food available to them. It really is. There's clothing available. There's shelter available. Sometimes not. Shelter can be a struggle sometimes with people, and they do need help in that way. But in this country, we're still a country where if somebody is able to and they have the wherewithal mentally, physically, and to make better themselves, we're a country where they can do it. I still say there's nothing out there like hard work and dedication. And when you work hard and you're dedicated to something, you usually will move down along that line pretty well. And I think that we have plenty of people that have been in dire straits growing up that have shown the success that's capable in our country. I'm sure there's people that it makes it difficult. I think that, you know, it's real easy for people to paint with a broad brush and say, well, anyone in America can do this. Look at me, I did it. But the truth is we're not all the same. And some people, when you have generational situation where people feel sometimes like there's no hope, they're downtrodden, that's hard to shake. It really is. It's hard to feel like you get a fair shake. And you almost have to have a mentor to take you under their wing and show you that, yeah, you can rise above this, because it's so easy not to. I had a friend, I still have a friend. He was a school teacher on the Indian reservations, one of the Indian reservations out west for, I'm thinking like 15 or 17 years maybe. And he finally left because he said, this is the way that it is, and it's a lot because of generational stuff, and the way that we handle things in this country when people need help sometimes is not the way it should be handled. But the reservations have a huge alcohol problem, and they have a huge dependency on the government problem as far as that mentality of not getting ahead and just falling back into whatever. And he said it was so hard because you'd have these kids in school and they'd be so bright and you'd think they'd have such a future and you'd even help them get scholarships and do all these things. And within 2 years, they were back on the reservation sitting on the couch drunk. And what I mean by that, I'm not knocking those people, but what I'm saying is sometimes there's generational behavior that is very hard to escape, even with good education and good teaching. So we need to understand in this country, I think, that there are those people that need a little extra help, that need a little extra boost, and that do need a mentor. I think the opportunity in this country is for anyone and everyone, but not anyone and everyone understands that it is and that has the wherewithal to take that opportunity. It's not always as easy as it looks like. Just because I grew up in a family where I was taught I could be anything I wanted, and that was drilled into me. You know, no one's any better than you. And I'll tell you, Scott, we didn't have any money. I mean, we were poor. Honestly, my dad You know, we had five kids. My dad worked on a freight dock. He was in the Teamsters Union. You'd think he'd make a lot of money, but he also had a gambling problem, and gambled a lot. He had racehorses, and I've said this before jokingly, but it was kind of true. Sometimes their shoes came before ours. But anyway, we didn't have much, but I was always raised with the attitude that I could do it. And when I didn't do it, and when I did fail, I knew the only person I had to blame was myself. And I did blame myself when I would fail, because I knew why I failed, because I didn't do it the way I should have done it. So I think the second thing that we have to be thankful for is we live in a country that is that you can rise up in. It's not always as easy. We live in a country so far right now that has had pretty much freedom of religion, freedom to believe as you wish, freedom to meet and congregate, freedom of speech, all those wonderful freedoms that we've enjoyed in this country. I think we need to pay attention to those and make sure that we don't lose them. But we've enjoyed that. Another thing that we've had in this country, at least through the high school level, we have had free education in this country. We don't have to be in a certain class of people to be educated. We don't have to be like in Afghanistan right now. We don't have to be a male to go to school. You know, there's not that gender bias to where you can't go to school if you're. How sad is that? But in this country, you know, we can go to school, we can get educated, we can have food, we can have hope in the future. Another thing that I think is a misnomer sometimes, you know, and it was talked about several years ago when health care and the type of health care was the big issue up front politically, is that if you are destitute, the hospitals still treat you here. And you know what I mean? And you can still get treatment. It's not that way in other parts of the world. I was in a training class one time, an EMT update class that we had gone to, and was speaking with the guy teaching was a field surgeon that had been a couple tours in Afghanistan, and he talked about how the men and the boys would come for treatment in their field hospital, and they gladly treated the villagers, but rarely would they ever bring a woman or a girl. But we don't have that in this country. If I break my leg tomorrow and I call the emergency squad, they're going to take me to the hospital and they're going to set my leg. So that's something to be thankful for. And you know, that list can go on and on, those things that we have to be thankful for in this country. But I guess the first one is that we have a God that loves us, and we can have that faith. And I think that's a wonderful thing to be thankful for. The second thing would be we live in a country with an unbelievable amount of opportunities, even though I would agree some people have more opportunity than others. We know that. You know, I grew up, there are people around me that, a matter of fact, when it was time for me to go to college from high school, because of not having a father and because of my mom working around the clock trying to keep things going, and my older siblings were in the middle of raising their young kids at that time, I didn't have that person behind me pushing me and driving me and helping me understand where I could go to school, how I logistically and financially was going to do it. And so because of that, I didn't at that time go to school, and it had to wait till years later when I could do it on my own. But the point is, so I didn't have the same opportunity as somebody that mom and dad says, just decide where you want to go. We're going to, you know, buy all the stuff you need. We're going to get, you know, I didn't have that. But I will say this too. If I was mature enough at the time, which I wasn't, there were things available that I could have took advantage of and still went. So I understand there are people that have more advantage than others sometimes in this country, but it's not something to cry about. And because we ultimately can do those things if we choose to. So the second thing I would say is we have a country with many, many opportunities. The third thing I want to talk about is we can continually throughout our life start over. Think about that a minute. we're not set in stone as to how we're going to live tomorrow. I know that in some parts of the world and in some places, once you're there, you're there. Once you're an outcast, you're an outcast. Once you're guilty, you're guilty. Once you're in a certain group, that's where you live, that's where you go, that's who you are. And there really is that lack of hope. Today, I am so grateful that I see many people that have that can say that today, that was me today, or yesterday, this will be me tomorrow. And in my case, a lot of that to me is giving your life to Jesus Christ and letting Him work in your life. But even honestly, as far as people go and a society goes, apart from that, people still can make changes and do different things in their life. I see people, there are those people that cannot get out from under drug addiction. No matter what they do, they just can't seem to. But there are people that I've seen that have. And it's remarkable to see what they can do. I've got a Facebook friend named Jason Kozlowski, and he lives in another state. I've never met the guy in my life. We've been friends on social media for 5 or 6 years now, and we follow each other. And this is a guy that was in prison for methamphetamines, buying, selling, taking, using. He was a mess. He was a worn-out, ugly mess, and he cleaned his life up. He's been clean for many years now. He does positive things all the time. Of course, he did give his life to Christ, and he lives for what he's called to do in ministry. And although he isn't a minister per se, he is with a group of guys that are a Christian motorcycle group. And they go around and they do different things and they help people and they encourage. And you know, so I guess I'm saying that, you know, we can decide that tomorrow's going to be different. If I've never held a job in my life because I don't have the gumption to do it and I just want to do what I want to do. If we ever get to that point of realizing that sometimes you have to swallow the good with the bad and you need to keep a job, you can decide that tomorrow is the day that I'm going to start being an employee that keeps their job instead of someone that walks out on their job and begin that building process of getting ahead. We can decide that tomorrow is the day, say I've not been the best parent, but tomorrow is the day that I'm going to begin that long road of being the parent I should be. I had a conversation with a guy one time that he called me and wanted me to come over, and he said, man, I'm really having problems with my kids, really bad. They're doing bad things. They're hurting themselves. The school had called, blah, 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 blah. And this guy was a victim of a divorce, because in his case, that's exactly what it was. And I say he and his wife were both victims of divorce. But so anyway, he didn't know what to do. And in trying to get back together with his wife, that didn't work. And he started dating every woman he could date. And the boys, it was showing. Dad was never there. Mom was doing her own thing. And his boys were starting to really show a problem. And my advice to him was, I said, you take the next 5 or 6 years. I said, look, you're still a young man. I think he was like 38 or 40 at the time. I said, you're a young man. I said, all those women out there are going to be there when your boys are raised. I said, you take the next 4 or 5 years, and you commit your life to raising your boys and giving them the best start that you can, and worry about the women later. And you know, that's what he did. And you know what? He ended up raising two wonderful boys. But I had told him, I said, you know, 5 years from now, you can either look back and say, what did I do? Why did I not give my boys more time? Or you can say, you know what? I'm so grateful that I decided to give my boys time instead of worrying about my needs. And I put my own needs off for that period of time. And so we can make decisions to be a better parent. We can make decisions to be a better friend. What about being decisions to be, here's a huge one, and I'm going to make this number 4, but how about a decision to be a giver and not a taker? Is that interesting? Scott, give me some examples of times that, and you don't have to be too specific. I don't want you to pat yourself on the back. We'll do that for you. Some examples of times when you've done something in a giving way that has turned out so much better than if you had done things in a selfish way.
Well, I think a lot of times when I try to do things to help other people, I make it a point not to do it too specifically. You know, a lot of people will, like, go and mow somebody else's lawn who they know. They'll go mow their neighbor's lawn. I always like the idea of doing things on a big scale so I don't know where the good things went. Because then I it's not like people are running over to thank me because I don't even know where it went. And it was a lot of work that went into doing something. You know, for a long time, we did fundraisers. I did fundraisers for the Juvenile Diabetes Foundation. And I'm not a diabetic. And then, you know, that every time we did one of those, somebody would always ask me if I was diabetic. Because, well, that's the only reason you would be doing
this.
You got to have an interest. But I'm not, and I'm still not diabetic. But I just found it fascinating how diabetes can impact people's life and they not even aware that they have it.
Absolutely.
So we would do, it was usually like a stage show where everybody had fun that night. We'd bring in choirs and things like that. And people would perform, and the ticket, nobody ever got paid. And the ticket money would go to the JDRF in Columbus. And I always thought that was great because I never knew where it went. You know, there was no thank you aside from a card that they would send saying thank you for the donation. But I thought, well, that's helping somebody.
I did something recently that I've never done before. And I agreed to commit and help someone that I'll never see and ever have any hope of seeing. And I thought that was kind of a fun thing to do. It was kind of, you know, it's one of those things where you just have to trust sometimes other people to do with what you've given them to do. And that's kind of what you did. You know, you're giving to the diabetes, whatever it was, whatever association or group that was, and you trust them to be good stewards of the money that's coming in and do what they should. But it's not something that's reflected directly back on you. And whereas, you know, mowing someone's grass, they know, oh, Scott mowed my grass.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's nothing wrong with that either, with, you know, mowing someone's grass or helping elderly people or doing what you can. And I think that what I think happens is, I think Frank would back me up on this one, and you would too, that when you begin to give, you begin to enjoy. When you begin to put others before yourself, you begin to really find out what the key to life is. You know, the true worship, according to the Bible, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you start to do that, and you do things that are just the right thing to do, and it's not selfish, but it's the right thing to do, I think you begin to realize that you're more satisfied in your own soul with what you're doing and how things are going. And you don't need great accolades. You don't need, you know, be on TV and look what this person did and that person did. And, you know, I always felt sometimes sorry for somebody like Jerry Lewis, and I'll tell you why. I don't think Jerry Lewis ever did his telethon. Remember the Jerry Lewis telethon. I don't think he ever did it to promote himself. He really wanted to do what he did. But he was the front man. And that's what brought in the money. But he was the front man. And sometimes it's hard to be the front man. It's hard to be someone where everyone wants to bring the accolades back to them. Because when you truly want to give for the right reason, that's a little more difficult to take. But I think that's going to be what where was at, number four. Number four is going to be being able to do for others other than yourself. What a thing to be thankful for that we can be that we can be there. And the neat thing about it is that maybe we haven't been there, but you can start being there. I don't think there's anything more bitter and sad to me than an elderly person that has always only thought of themselves. Because you see them at the end of their life, and they're usually familyless, friendless, and bitter, and wonder what happened. I missed out on something. I remember one time I was with a man that actually told me, he said, and he was dying, and he said, I never stopped to let my family find out who I even was. He was so busy chasing his own dream that he never even stopped. He said, my family doesn't know who I am. Wouldn't that be sad? But you don't have to be that. And that's the thing we can be thankful for. We can decide today, I'm going to be a different person. And, you know, people will say that, oh, no one's ever going to forget this stuff you did. No one's ever going to forget that stuff you did. And that's true. There's going to be those bitter people out there that says, I remember when you did this and that. It's like a friend of mine, Stephen Poe, posted a month or so ago. He posted something that said, if somebody brings up something you did in the past, just tell them, look, you're knocking at the wrong door. I don't live there anymore. You know, and you don't.
But you know, it's interesting because I really don't believe that most people who give big money or whatever it is that they give, I really don't think in their mind that they think that they're doing that to raise themselves up. But then you look in their personal life and they do things that don't seem to be on accord with what they did. You know, Jerry Lewis is one of those. It's fascinating because Jerry Lewis did do all that for all those years. He was criticized for it, for showing those kids on television and saying that he exploited them. But that's a debate. But the end result is when he died, he didn't leave his kids anything. He left his one adoptive daughter, his whole estate, and all his sons from the previous marriages that he was no longer involved in. He didn't leave anything.
So, what you got to say is, A, we don't know the particular circumstances or why. And so, what we can say is that he still did a good thing, and we don't know why he did the bad thing.
Well, Bill Cosby. That's it. Bill Cosby gave more money to more colleges than anybody, I think, maybe aside from Bob Hope.
Wonderful.
Yeah, but what he did in his personal life, we all wonder.
So what we're saying is that everybody falls down, makes mistakes, and has things in their life they battle.
But
And the problem with being in the limelight is, being that upfront person is, that, one, they're under a tremendous amount of pressure. I'm not making excuses. They're under a lot of pressure, but at the same time, everything that they do is escalated, usually larger than it is. And people that have been followed around by paparazzi and just the nonstop their whole life, I wonder what craziness they do to escape, and sometimes where their mind is. And I think sometimes when people, it's very hard for that person to do something honestly for a good reason and not have somebody judge what they're doing and why they're doing it. Jerry Lewis could have done 101 things to make money. And I just use him as one example. There's so many out there. You know, as much as people don't like Donald Trump, there's so many examples out there of people that, just on a whim, he helped them. You know, someone that fixed a flat tire for him. Those kind of things that people have come forward and said, you know, this guy did this. So everybody, I guess what I'm getting at is this. Is that we can do kind things. We don't have to be a person that's selfish all the time. And yeah, we can make mistakes. There can be all kinds of things people look at us and say, but look when you did this, look when you did that. What I'm saying is, you personally out there, Marion, Ohio, and in the extended communities, can decide tomorrow that you are going to start doing more for other people and think more for other people. And I promise you, if you do, you will be very thankful that you did, because you will have a different attitude about a lot of things. Giving is far brings far more joy than receiving ever does. And I'm not saying that you do it to make yourself feel good either. Just do the right thing. If you got excess of something, rather than throwing it in the trash, find someone to give it to. I don't mean like, you know, I had a lady one time call me up and told me that she has some carpet she wanted to donate to our pantry because we were collecting things for people, you know, furniture and whatnot. And here I found out that what it was a bunch of old, nasty, stained, old, sun-bleached carpet that had been cut into 2-foot strips that the garbage man wouldn't take. So she wanted to, you know, I'm not saying donate those things. What I'm saying is there's some really nice things people have, and they just, you know, I'm not giving them to people. I work for it. They can do the same. I'm just thinking that you can reach out. You can help people. Speaking of which, and this is really sad, Scott, you probably saw it on the news, our association, Stowe Center in Columbus, which Frank and I have been there, it's run by our association. They were broke into, and, you know, they are one of the largest clearinghouses for Christmas blessings and food and toys in that whole south end of Columbus. And they were broke into, and thieves took 3 hours carrying everything out they could. And they took, they have a pregnancy care center there, and they took all of their newborn diapers. I mean, cases and cases of diapers. All those things that people donate and to be used. And they just took them all. And that's something you can lift up in prayer that they get those things back. Not those things, but, you know, I'm sure people are going to come forward and really help them resupply. But I think that it's wonderful when we can do good things, and we can do them for the right reason, because we care about people, not that we want it to reflect back on us. But what's really cool is when you do it for the right reason, eventually, you know, it's going to reflect back on you anyway. People are going to remember you for who you are. And if you're doing it for the wrong reason, or if you're hiding something sinister while you're doing it, like we just talked about someone, then that reflects too. So I guess that's a lesson to us that it's great to do nice things, but character counts. And make sure that your character's right. Don't expect your good deeds to overshadow a villain underneath, because it's not going to work. It'll come out in the end. Who was it? Escobar, the drug lord in South America. You know, built all these schools, did all these things, but at the same time, what was he doing? He was destroying people. He was murdering people. He was doing all the things with drugs. I mean, he did not go down in history as a wonderful man. Maybe he thought he was getting some kind of absolution from, I don't know, from giving or doing. But anyway, so I would say that number five was being able to give, and I think that's a wonderful thing. And I think that the last category I want to talk about being thankful for, and this is a tough one for a lot of people, and that is being thankful for where you are. This is kind of a group thing. Where you are, what you have, and whom you have. And some of the things people struggle with is, you know, I struggle with my husband. I struggle with my boyfriend. I struggle with my girlfriend. You know, my kids aren't behaving. This isn't going on. This isn't going right. Look at this house that I live in. You know, I can't afford to fix it up or I really was hoping better for my life. And, you know, the list goes on and on. My job's not the best. My boss isn't the best. I'm tired of struggling. I wish I had an education. I wish I had more money. We can go down that list all day long. And what I'm going to say to be thankful for, and this might scare some people, is for where you're at and who you are and what you have. Because we have to realize that what we have and who we are is okay. It's okay for right now. Pick up those things individually and start working on them. If you love kids, love them with all you got. When they come from school, spend some time with them. You don't have to leave the TV on or make them go to their room so that they don't bother you. Spend some time with your kids. Spend time with them before they go to bed at night. Tell your kids you love them. Quit cussing at your kids and calling them filthy names. I hear that so much, Scott. It breaks my heart. be thankful that even though you don't have much, that you had something to eat today, because in about 80% of the world, they don't. Every day. I remember when my daughter was on a trip to the Mindanao region of the Philippines, which is very, very poor. And they're fishing villages. And I remember she was, they went out on a fishing boat to go to another island, and they're talking back and forth with a Filipino that was an interpreter, and said basically, what do you guys eat every day? Well, we eat fish. Well, what happens if you don't catch any fish tomorrow? We don't eat. It's just simple as that. They didn't have refrigeration. And so, you know, we're very blessed in this country that I know right now in Marion, Ohio, we have a lot of food pantries. We have a big one in Prospect at the Lutheran Church. There's clothes available to people. So even though you don't have the best, you can eat. So be thankful that we have something to eat. Be thankful that if you contact one of the colleges or one of the tech schools or our social service agencies and tell them, I desire to get ahead and I desire to go to school and do something, that they will physically help you do that. They will send you in the right direction. They'll help you fill out the applications. They'll help you get the grants. I mean, those are wonderful things you can do. Say that you don't have the best housing in the world. You know what? Make it the best you can. So many parts of our world, we have 5 people living in a one-room place, or 10 or 12. And not that that's, I'm saying, suck it up and like what you have. I'm just saying that when we begin to accept where we are and say, it's okay, we can then begin to move forward in our life, in what we do, in looking for a better tomorrow. But if we spend all of our time and energy wallowing in the self-pity of where we are, and trust me, I'm not saying that you don't have a reason to be disappointed or whatever, or feel pity. I'm just saying that it takes too much time and energy out of our life. And we need to be thankful that we can move forward. We really can. And that's something we can all look forward to. Look forward to the fact that I know the weather's getting bad, but we have a beautiful city parks you can take your kids to. There's one over, isn't that Lincoln Park that has the huge sledding hill?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, look at the winter, you know, snow. It's coming that time of year. Go to the Salvation Army or somewhere and get one of those cheap plastic sleds if you don't have much money. You know, or tell someone you want one. Maybe someone will get one for you. But you can take your kids sledding. You can put on a big pot of soup and eat on it for 3 or 4 days. We did that growing up. It was wonderful. But the point is, begin to enjoy life. Begin to realize, look, I'm not stuck where I am. I just have to accept where I am as, okay, this is where I am. I need to move forward. Scott Spears doesn't need to come out and bail me out and give me a new life. The only way that you're going to get a true new life is through faith in Christ. And the only way that you're going to decide that you're going to get a new life is decide you're going to get a new life and move in that direction. You have to make the decision that your life's going to be better, whether it's a life of faith, which I choose to lead and pray that you do, or it's a life of just living better and doing the best you can. But you decide that I'm going to move forward in life. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to stay stuck in the doldrums of where I am. And it doesn't mean that they're not there. It doesn't mean that I'm being unsympathetic or other people don't have sympathy for where you are. But there are people that will help you. And I say this too. You will receive far more help to better yourself if you have an attitude of desiring to get ahead and desiring to get that help to move ahead and begin to accept the fact of where you are and that you need to move forward. People will begin to be willing to help you. You know, I think I'll help this guy out. Look at him. He's really trying to get ahead. What can we do to make his life a little easier while he does it? Who can we send along to be a mentor to that person, to help them get a better life, to help them to do well, rather than just having that attitude that I'm going to try this, but it probably is not going to work, and it's all going to blow up in my face. It blows in your face because most things have. And they have for, maybe it's not all your fault, maybe it's very little your fault. But what is, what we can control is what we do. And we need to realize that, look, I accept where I am at this moment, but my desire is to not be where I'm at. And my desire is to love my kids. And I may not understand their homework, but it doesn't stop me from looking at it and trying to help them. I may not understand the desires they have for the things they want. Your kids don't have to have that $600 cell phone at Christmas. Don't beat yourself up to try to get it. Explain to them why they can't and why it's not necessary. And that would be the outcome. I mean, I heard today that gas prices, fuel heating prices, I heard on the news this morning, could be 50% higher than last year. Folks, that's going to be tough to deal with. Now's when is the time when you begin to decide, you know what, I'm going to weatherize my house a little more. Well, who's, I can't afford that. Home weatherization assistance will come out and do it. I'm going to stop, and I better tighten up and stop spending a little here that maybe I don't need to, so I can make sure I have the ability to pay these. Whatever the thing is, begin to plan and make a plan how things are going to be better and how you're going to make sure that you do your part in them becoming better. You know, don't expect someone else to go out there and make your life all better for you, because it isn't going to happen. You know, I've been waiting for my ship to come in now for about 63 years. And the truth is, in the back of your mind, you'd always say, will that ship come? My ship came in a long time ago. I just had to recognize it. I had to recognize that my ship coming in was God telling me that I was made for a purpose and a right purpose. And He designed me to be what He designed me to be. And I needed to let go and let God. And that's when my ship came in. And I was joking about, you know, been waiting for 63 years. But everyone, that's why people are flooding to the lottery offices and spending money that they could be using to better themselves in other ways. And they buy all these lottery tickets, and the reason is because they're hoping for that big chunk to come in and give them the life they've never had. Well, you know what the odds are of that. The odds are so low. I was in Motomart down the street over here off 4 a couple weeks ago on a Saturday, and the line was clear to the door, and everyone in front of me had a bunch of cards filled out. And we're buying lottery tickets with that false hope, that hope that they're going to get ahead. You know, take that same money and decide that I'm going to, maybe I'm going to pay for some courses at Columbus State. Maybe I'm going to do this. Maybe I'm going to find some way to make a better life. And it's a daily progress. It's not, look, I'm going to try this for a week and it better work. Or I'm going to try this for a month and it better work. It's got to be something that you realize you do it day to day to day, and eventually things start to turn around for you. And I pray that they do. And I know we're about out of time. How many minutes we got, Scott?
About a minute and a half.
Minute and a half. Hey, we'd love to have you come see us at Community Christian Fellowship. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our service times are 9:30 Bible study hour, and our worship hour is at 10:30. We have a lot of people, I want to tell you out there, we have a lot of people just like you. And you say, how do you know that? I know that because we're all the same. We all have our struggles. We all have our difficulties. I tell everybody I'm not any better than anyone else. I'm just a sinner that was saved by grace, and I trust God each and every day. And I know that you can have a better life, and I desire for you to. And I look for all of you to hold me accountable. And been a blessing being on the show today. But let's think about those things we have to be truly thankful for. Scott?
Yep. Don't forget, you can hear the Community Christian Fellowship Sunday service Sunday at 12:15, and this show repeats Sunday morning at 8:15 and Wednesday at 3:15.
God bless you guys. Y'all have a good week.
107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. From legendary comedian Orson Bean singing the Baloney Song.
Two Irishmen and a Hebrew once went out for recreation, and they took enough provisions along to spend a week's vacation.